You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. We're giving you the best content from each postseason edition of MLB At The Plate. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and J.P. Arencibia.
That was an amazing baseball game. 7-6, the Astros hang on to beat the Dodgers. You had a pitcher's duel going on for about five innings. Verlander gave up a two-run home run, and then things just got absolutely nutty. Welcome to the MLB at the Plate World Series post-game podcast. Alongside J.P. Arencibia, I'm Holden Kushner. Houston Astros won Game 2 of the World Series against the L.A. Dodgers. 7-6 the final on Wednesday. J.P. and I will break down Game 2 and preview Game 3 with fellow TuneIn analyst LaTroy Hawkins. JP, a lot went on. What's at the top of your mind right now?
That don't tell me baseball's a boring sport. This is what baseball's about. I mean, gosh, what an amazing, amazing game. How much fun it was to watch. I mean, you just felt like it was never going to be over, honestly, and going back and forth. I mean, listen. This is what people want to see. I hate, you know, we've talked about well-pitched games, but unfortunately, people dig the long ball, and it was a fun game, I'm sure, for fans and everybody watching.
I still preferred the 2-hour and 28-minute version, but 4-hour and 19-minute version of this one was pretty damn good as well. And for a little while, it looked like it was going to be a 2-0 series lead for the Dodgers, and they would go to Houston, and they would clean things up, and here you go. You've got, and Blummer just tweeted this out too. I was talking about it with him earlier tonight, JP. It was 14 years ago tonight that he hit the extra inning home run that helped the White Sox beat the Astros in Game 3. They went on to sweep that World Series, and tonight in extra innings, they finally get their first franchise victory. But Springer, you know, he busted loose tonight. I think that's a great sign for the Astros, given that he was 3-for-30 from game one of the ALCS until tonight. He goes 3-for-5, a home run and a walk. You've got Kenley Jansen, who had six or more outs three times last postseason. This time it comes around. He finally gets touched up. I mean, that was absolutely shocking. The Astros bullpen was decent before extra innings. It kept them in the game. The Dodgers bullpen, the Dodgers were 98-0 after leading after eight innings. It was just absolutely amazing ball game. And if you remember, there's a guy by the name of Justin Verlander that started, and he had a no-hitter through 4 2/3 before the Peterson home run. I mean, and that's even before we get to some of the moves that were made by the managers. Did you have any issues with anything that Hinch or Roberts did tonight?
I mean, honestly, the only thing that I thought could have been different, but obviously it's just hindsight, is I thought they could have probably stuck with Morrow in the eighth inning and let Kenley, especially how much he's been working, kind of come out there. Morrow's done the couple innings, and I know he gave up the leadoff double, but it's still, Morrow's been a guy who's been as dominant as anybody, and then you give Kenley the clean inning to close it out for the ninth, but again, I mean, other than that, you're just really trying to pick at things. I think it was a well decided game on both managers, and you got to tip your hat to the Astros bullpen, even though they wanted to give it up every single time they went out there. Thankfully, the Astros gave them enough of a cushion. But to get on George Springer, you were talking about, is I think it's huge. You go from a game before, remember we talked about it, that they asked the question, is he worried about George Springer yesterday at post game, and he had punched out four times. And then I remember I said, it's Clayton Kershaw. No, you're not worried about George Springer punching out four times. He punches everybody out, and then look what he comes back and does today. That just shows the kind of grit and the confidence and just the mental toughness that George Springer possesses.
Well, and then you look at the bullpen here for the Dodgers. Morrow is a guy who just been pristine this postseason, really during the season as well. But He ended up getting touched up. Kenley Jansen, that's the shocker right there, the fact that he actually gave up a run. And then I think two of the other moves. Now, listen, if you're going to have him on your postseason roster, you might as well use him, right? But Josh Fields coming in, I don't think that's something that Dave Roberts probably had to feel great about. And then Brandon McCarthy, who hasn't pitched in, it seems like, did he even pitch this year? Of course he did, but it's been a long time. Him coming in a high leverage situation, pitching that inning, that to me was a little head scratching. But again, if the general manager is going to put these guys on a roster, then at some point in time, you're going to have to use them in an extra inning game. It was just interesting to see that Fields and McCarthy were in those situations.
Yeah, but again, they just, you know, McCarthy, one, was put on the roster for a reason. Obviously, he had been pitching in rehab games and doing what he needed to do, and they felt that he had his stuff was sharp enough to be able to go out there and pitch, which I think now I'm sure spin rate and analytics have a lot to do with, because, you know, they can look at the numbers when he was healthy and you know, that he came back and to see if he was still getting the same numbers, and I'm sure he was, and that's why you give him the ball. I mean, listen, McCarthy's a good pitcher. It's a tough situation to go from not pitching for a long time to coming in a high leverage situation like he did. It's very, very tough, and you know, that's something that you have to deal with. And for, you know, Fields, that he was they're one of their best relievers. I mean, in the second half of the year, I'm pretty sure his ERA was under a 2. So it's just like one of those things, you have to pick your poison. That's kind of the tough part about the playoffs, is you ride your hot guys all the time so much that then you get in a situation like this. And really, if you think about it, no one but three guys in the Dodger pen had been worked other than, you know, Maeda, Morrow, and Jansen, and maybe Watson a little bit, but no one else has worked. So all of a sudden you get your number called and you haven't pitched in the game in a while, and all of a sudden you're pitching in the World Series. It's tough to do.
What'd you think of Verlander tonight? Because I'm looking at the final line, 6 innings, 2 hits and 3 runs. It's a lot like Keuchel, where Keuchel had a quality start last night. I thought Keuchel's start of 3 runs in 6 innings was just about as good as you could pitch while giving up 3 runs over 6 innings. And for Verlander, I guess we were all expecting him not to give up any runs, but he gave up 2 hits. You know, it just so happens both of them were home runs. I thought Verlander looked pretty good again tonight, though.
Verlander looked great, and if you think about it, I mean, he was just a couple pitches. In that 3-2 pitch that he walked, I'm drawing a blank on who he walked there before the home run, was, I mean, could have gone both ways. It was a 3-2 pitch that had been called throughout the game, ball 4, next guy gets a home run. And so, I mean, that's literally, he would have been out of the inning, or now you gave up a 2-run homer. He's been great. He's continued to be phenomenal. Again, you run into 2 balls and you give up 3 runs, but that's why we talk about it, and home runs are at such a premium, because that's the only way that you can score runs like that, is by a home run. You just, it is what it is, but that's the game that we live in nowadays, that, you know, if you think about the playoffs, a lot of times the runs being scored, think about just even all the runs that were scored tonight, other than the Dodgers hitting that base hit with Forsyth and Correa up the middle. I mean, everything else is pretty much home runs.
All right, JP, our guy LaTroy Hawkins, co-worker here, now working with the Twins as well, joining us. Thanks for staying up late, first of all, LaTroy. I know you were watching the game because you're texting back and forth with me, but my goodness, 8 home runs. This was kind of a microcosm of the regular season, wasn't it? 8 home runs, and everything just busted out, and finally the Astros got the win in the end.
Yeah, it started off as a well-pitched game by the 2 starters. And then it's just got the bullpen came with the strong part of each team. The bullpen just got away. And I can never remember a time at a night game where the ball flies like this at Dodger Stadium. It has to be the hot weather. Usually this time of the year is a little cooler. The ball is not traveling as much. I've never seen as many home runs leave out of Dodger Stadium in two games. It's unheard of. Unheard of. So I think the weather has a lot playing with the you know, some of the power that these guys are displaying. Not saying that they don't hit home runs, but, you know, night games and almost, you know, almost November, the ball shouldn't be traveling like that.
Baseballs are juice, man. They brought the juice balls in just in time. Just in time. And rather the balls be juice than the players. That's eight home runs tonight, LaTroy. And Astros 7, Dodgers 6, series tied at 1, heading to Houston now. Well, get your thoughts on some of the moves in the bullpen. You know, we were discussing Kenley Jansen. The guy never gives up a run. What was it, 28 innings? Oh. A major league record, postseason record, 28 consecutive scoreless innings by the Dodgers bullpen, 101 batters. And then Jansen gives up the run. It was charged tomorrow. We saw McCarthy have a rough inning late there. And for the Astros, Kenny Giles continues to struggle. So both closers struggled tonight. I thought it was interesting that Brandon McCarthy came in quite that situation tonight.
Well, I think Kenny Jansen only had a save, a two-inning save once this season. And that's one of those situations where if he had done it four, five, six times during the season, you know, I wouldn't mind putting him in that situation in the game. But he's not accustomed to pitching, going to sit down for 10, 12, 15, 20 minutes, and then going back out there and trying to get it going again. So I think that kind of didn't work in Robert's favor right there. He's much more effective when he's going out there trying to get three outs, maybe four outs if you really had to stretch him. But I think that's asking a lot of him to try to go out there and get six outs. And we saw that. He came in, he gave it the base hit, and then he gave it the home run in the ninth inning to tie the game. But like we always say, Kenley Jansen go out there, get six straight outs, game over with, we won't be having this conversation.
What's up, Hawk? It's JP.
Hey, oh, what's up, brother?
Not much. Just enjoying the – you know, I like the deep flies. Obviously, I don't like them when I'm behind the dish. But, you know, you can talk about this as a reliever, and this is something, you know, you talk about – Holden asked me about Fields or about McCarthy, and what people don't realize is in the playoffs, you ride those bullpen arms frequent, the hot ones, so much that the other guys really don't get any work, and all of a sudden you're in an extra inning game like this and they're in high-leverage innings. You talk about how tough it is to be able to simulate any kind of games until you're out on the mound and now you're having to get the biggest outs of your career possibly?
Yeah, we always say you can practice all you want in the bullpen or on the side, but once you get between the lines, it's a different ball game. And as the longer this game went, you start having to put guys in different situations that they're not accustomed to pitching in. Like McCarthy, he's not used to coming in the game in the 10th, 11th inning. That's just not something he's accustomed to doing. Fields, and only thing I saw with Fields was his command was just awful. He was just right down the middle. His strike zone command was terrible. I mean, he didn't hit the corners. Everything was right down the middle, and they made him pay for it. But, you know, anybody who's ever played in the playoffs, the game is the same. At the end of the night, you're not physically tired. You're emotionally tired because, like Springer said in his postgame, it's an emotional roller coaster, man. Things can change and everything is magnified. So it's more of a mentally draining than it's physically draining. But those guys in the bullpen, I think what we saw tonight, that the Astros are not afraid of the Dodgers bullpen anymore because they had some success tonight. And what we already knew, the Dodgers could care less about the Astros bullpen. So it's going to be very interesting to go going forward in the rest of this World Series to see how big of a part the bullpens are going to play since, you know, there's no fear on either side anymore.
And Holden kind of asked about it, but I wanted to get a little deeper. You know, he asked me about, and you as well, about, you know, the use of Kenley Jansen. And my point was, and I saw this behind the dish a lot, guys that don't come out and have clean innings, closers are used to most of the time coming out and having clean innings. Brandon Morrow has been so dominant. You know, I figured that they could have left him out there for that eighth inning and just give Jansen the ninth inning. But can you talk about the difference, again, as a reliever, is coming out and being used to those clean innings? And what I mean by, obviously, you know this, but for the people that are listening, is just the start of an inning, you're the first pitcher of that inning.
Well, the clean inning, going out there with a clean inning, nobody on base, your room for error is just a little bit more. But when you come out there with a guy on second base, you have to be on point. You have to have your best command. You have to have your best pitches working out the gate. You don't get a chance to, you know, throw three or four or five pitches and try to search for your command. When you go out there, you have to be perfect. Because if you don't, then, you know, you're liable to give up a hit, and the inning can start to snowball for you. So I always like the clean inning. But you also have those guys who, at the end of the season, you look at those inherited runners scored, and if they inherited 17 guys and only two guys scored, those are the guys who you know, they strive in situations like that. But everybody, you know, can't go out there and pitch with runners on base. And like you said, closers usually get a clean inning. They usually get a clean inning. And Jansen wasn't able to do that tonight. And another thing about closers, the longer they're out there, the more they're getting exposed. And I know you completely understand that, JP. The more a team sees you, the better chance their chances of getting good swings off you, they increase. So I think the more they see Kenley Jansen, they saw him that first inning, had to go out there for that second inning, you know, it made it just a little bit easier for them to make some pretty good contact off of him.
Yep, somebody can actually get to him, at least for the first time. Somebody got to the Dodgers bullpen for the first time in a long time here in the playoffs. Last but not least, there's a guy that jumped into the Astros bullpen at Dodger Stadium. I mean, if the cops hadn't gotten to him, right, if security didn't get to him, he was in a lot of danger because you guys would have jumped a guy jumping into the bullpen, right?
No, I don't know about jumping him, but I would have told my guys, hey, fellas, you let him stay over there, and we're going to stay over here. But if he make any kind of false movement, like he want to try to come over here and do something, and then we kick his rump.
Okay, very good. I just want to know.
As long as he's just wanting to be down there because, oh, you know, I made a bet with my friend and, you know, that I wouldn't do this, that's fine. But once he make any kind of threatening movement towards me or my guys, and then he's setting himself up for more failure.
All right. Do you think that's bullpen protocol across the league or just LaTroy Hawkins' bullpen?
I hope it's across the league because this day and age, you know, if you attack him and beat him up pretty good, he can still sue. And, you know, at this day and age, nobody wants it all in the media and in the bad publicity. So he'll definitely sue whichever team that jumps him and sue Major League Baseball and all that stupid stuff. So hopefully guys are a little bit smarter now and understand as long as he don't make any threatening moves towards you or the rest of your teammates, you let the security guard down in the bullpen do his job because there's security in the bullpen. And I'm sure there's heightened security during the playoffs in the bullpen as well.
All right, I just need to get to the bottom of some minutia there. Thank you, LaTroy. Appreciate it, buddy.
I'm about to hit the sack. I'm hanging out with my grandfather. He's going to be 93 on Halloween, so I came into town to check him out over in Gary, Indiana. You guys have a great show, and talk to you on Friday.
Take care, buddy. LaTroy Hawkins joining us, longtime big league reliever. So let's see here. 61st extra inning game in World Series history, JP. This is the notes have just come out from Major League Baseball, the World Series notes. 61st extra inning game, first since Game 7 of last year. And 30th to go at least 11 innings. And this was the wackiest. No doubt about it. This was the craziest. Most home runs ever in a World Series game of 8, and 6 were hit from the 9th inning on. Absolutely shocking things that happened this evening. And so many of them. Dodgers were 98-0 after 8 innings. The only team without a loss. And no longer is that intact. We'll come back. We'll hear from Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. Plus, we got our best day ever home run tracker. Statistically speaking, this is the MLB at the Plate World Series postgame show.
You're listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. And we'll be right back with more after this.
The 11th Hour with Brian Williams. Tomorrow's headlines before they go to print.
I've just been handed some great reporting.
Tomorrow's questions before anyone's asked them.
Could you make an obstruction case?
Tomorrow's conversation tonight.
Who is there to stand up to the boss and speak truth to power?
Not a single person.
The 11th Hour with Brian Williams. More than the day that was, it's the day that will be. Weeknights at 11 Eastern on MSNBC.
And now, time for more of the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and J.P. Arencibia.
Just an amazing game tonight, and a game that was won by the Astros 7-6 over the Dodgers. Series tied at 1, heading to Houston. And we will have a day off tomorrow, and then game number 3 has Lance McCullers, Yu Darvish, the pitching matchup, Holden Kushner, and J.P. Arencibia. Big league pitchers, ladies and gentlemen, have a lot of options when it comes to staying in control on the mound. But when it comes to you and business travel, there's only one true choice for total control. That is National Car Rental. You're always the ace when you're a member of the Emerald Club. You can skip the counter, choose any car on the aisle, and go. Can even pick a full size or above. You'll only pay the mid-size price. So when you take them out for your next business trip, take control, go with National, be guaranteed to have a little more payoff in your pitch. Take control and go with National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro. Time now for our home run tracker, statistically speaking. And we'll start, though, with our best day ever.
Best day ever, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro.
JP, it's almost impossible to pick a pitcher here, isn't it? I mean, who had the best day ever on the mound? Verlander was in line to take the loss. Rich Hill was taken out after 4 innings. Divinsky got the win, although he gave up a run. Who do we give the best day ever to on the mound? Or do we just bypass it?
No, I'm going, if I'm giving it to somebody, I'm going to Kenta Maeda. He looked dominating again, man. 1 1/3, and finally gave up his first. He had, like, retired 18 in a row or something like that. And he gave up his first knock. That's really the only guy for me that was really, really dialed in.
All right, and then how about at the plate? Would you go Correa? Was there Marwin Gonzalez? Who was the guy that had the best day ever at the plate?
I think it's Springer. I mean, obviously his 2-run homer is what gave him the win, but also I go Springer. He was on base 4 times, and the comeback from a 4 punch out game, I think that's pretty, pretty big time to do what he did, because there'd be a lot of people that would have their tail tucked between their legs there in a situation like that after a bad night.
He was in a 3-for-30 slump since game 1 of the ALCS, 3-for-5 home run, go ahead shot, and a walk tonight. George Springer, best day ever. Let's get to our home run tracker.
MLB at the plate, home run tracker.
Boy, there were a lot of them tonight. We had Jock Peterson, Corey Seager both going deep. Marwin Gonzalez hit that 398-foot shot that really woke everybody up. Altuve hit one 413. Correa 427. George Springer's shot went 389 feet. And Charlie Culberson going 404. So 8 home runs tonight, 6 after in the 9th inning or after. Let's look a little deeper into the numbers.
Statistically speaking,
Justin Verlander allowed multiple home runs in 3 World Series games in his career, tied with Don Drysdale for the most such games. Entering tonight, the Dodgers were 98-0 when leading after 8 innings, including the playoffs, the only team in Major League Baseball without a loss until tonight, of course. Second time in postseason history that a team hit back-to-back home runs in extra innings. The Mariners did it in Game 1 of the 2000 ALDS against the White Sox. Altuve's first go-ahead home run in extra innings of a World Series game since David Freese did it, his walk-off in Game 6 back in 2011, and the Dodgers' bullpen scoreless streak was snapped at 28 straight scoreless innings. That was a major league record for a single postseason. Speaking of the Dodgers, here's their manager, Dave Roberts, at the podium.
It was one of those games that just ran out of outs, but those guys, to their credit, against a very good bullpen, they tacked on runs, kept going.
In the far back, Dave, Ken.
Dave, how much thought did you give to bringing in Jansen for a clean inning if you were going to go to him with a 6-out save?
I thought about it. I thought about it, but I just felt that where Morrow's pitch count was at right there, and we had him being able to go 1+. So I just felt that Bregman had a really good at-bat against Kenley the night before, or last night, and I felt that if Brandon can get Bregman, then I was going to go to Kenley then.
Standing in the far back, we're getting the gentleman the mic.
Hi there. Can you describe that roller coaster of emotions, through those innings of going up, tying, and then obviously loss?
It was. I mean, honestly, it was an exciting baseball game. It's two teams that competed for 27 outs, and it was an emotional roller coaster. There were some big plays defensively, some big pitches made, some big hits, some big homers, and the focus was there. Guys were playing hard, so on both sides. And unfortunately, we came up short. We didn't expect these guys to lay down. You know, that's a very good ball club over there. So, you know, take the day tomorrow, and we'll be ready to go.
Right center towards the back, Ramona.
Hey, Dave, what was the thing of just taking Rich out after four? Was there a chance he would go longer, or was the situation?
There was a chance. I just felt that right there at the top of their order coming up, and with the way our bullpen's been throwing, and you look back behind that, we had three scoreless innings after that. And so to just trust that the guys behind them, and the bottom line is, you know, I'll take Kenley any day of the week with a one-run lead going to the ninth inning.
To your left, Dave, in the second row.
Dave, it seemed like over here, it seemed like their offense kind of woke up and they seized momentum. What do you guys do when you go down to Houston to try to stop that?
Yeah, I think that all year long we've done a nice job of, you know, recovering, turning the page, whether it's a big win or it's a tough loss, and just refocusing on the day at hand. So, it's a travel day tomorrow, and our guys played to the end. It was actually a very hard-fought game. So those are tough. Those are tough, obviously, on this stage. It makes it a little bit tougher, but I have no doubt we'll come refocused.
To your left, Dave. Joel.
Dave, you mentioned you'd take Kenley any day with one inning to go and a one-run lead. So what's the level of shock when you see him give it up, especially at this time of year where he had become pretty much impenetrable?
He's been virtually unhittable. And Gonzalez put a good swing on an 0-2 pitch, and it was center cut. And so you tip your hat to him. And again, where Kenley's workload, where he was at, that part of the order, it's a great spot for him, and it just doesn't always go as planned, but I know that we'll all be ready to go.
All right, so that's Dave Roberts at the podium again, MLB at the plate, holding Kushner, JP here, and CBS. JP, I'll tell you, this game, too, what I'll remember is it looked as though the Astros were dead in the water. They were trailing going into the eighth inning. They had a two-run deficit. You know, they got on, and I think Cameron Maybin getting on base, stealing the base, getting everybody tacos, then scoring the run, and later having those big home runs and extras where they thought they had the game wrapped up. Boom, they had a two-run top of the 10th. Dodgers come back. They strike back and tie it. And then two more in the 11th. I think the resiliency of both teams, but especially the Astros since they won, that's what I'm going to remember about this game for a long, long time, because it was a classic.
Yeah, and I'm obviously going to remember the back and forth, and I think it's great for baseball and the entertainment, because we are entertainers. At the end of the game, going into the extra innings and going homer, then the next guy hits a homer, and matching that. And then what I'm looking forward to is on Friday seeing how the Dodgers bounce back. I want to see, did they get this square in the chin where they feel like, man, maybe we're not as invincible, and all of a sudden they're standing back, or they go, hey, that was just a fluke and we're out here and we're going to continue to dominate these guys. So it'll be excited to see how they answer back in Houston.
That's it for the MLB at the Plate World Series post-game podcast. For Ryan and Dustin in the LA studio, JP and CB alongside me, I'm Holden Kushner, and we'll catch you mañana.
Thank you for listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. Tune in, your everything audio app.